One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra titanium alloy metal, you're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water, but you're getting it anyway, because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of When Cryptids Call. I'm your host, Lee Solway. Now, this is a cryptid phone-in show. I know, the clue is kind of in the name, but I kind of wanted it like that, for obvious reasons. But some of you still might not be sure on what actually is a cryptid. Simply, a cryptid is an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated by science. And straight away you're thinking of things like the Yeti, Bigfoot, Macaulay Membe down in the Congo there. This is like, to all intents and purposes, it's a dinosaur that the locals still, you know, adamant exists. Western science not quite, you know, there yet. But he's down there. Then you've got Loch Ness Monster, Jersey Devil, these kinds of things. But we're not only talking about those, okay? Now, those creatures, obviously, there's only anecdotal evidence for. But you've got some cryptid creatures that used to exist. Okay, we've got fossil records for. So your things like your giant sloth down in South America there, they still see it. You know, not very often, but, you know, it is supposed to be down there. And obviously science doesn't believe it, but we know it used to exist, okay? But we don't know it's continued to exist. So that makes it cryptid. And then you've got things like the coelacanth. Again, you know, the locals were talking about this fish, and most of you might be aware of this, but if you haven't seen a coelacanth, go and Google it. Fantastic looking beast. But essentially, this is a fish that's 6 foot long, 200 pounds, covered in scale armour, and Western science could not believe that it still existed. Its lineage goes back 300 million years. But the fishermen, the locals, east coast of Africa, off the Indian Ocean there, they all were saying that they keep catching these things. Not all the time, but just, you know, sporadically. And then obviously one was caught in a fishing net, I think it was 1938. Another one turned up on, you know, in a fishing market in Indonesia somewhere. Someone just walking through and there it was laid on the table. Apparently it didn't taste very nice because it's all slimy, but I'm getting off, getting sidetracked here. But that is a cryptid creature, okay? So your Bigfoot is a cryptid creature. Science, all the anecdotal evidence for it, and there's more evidence than just people seeing it. There's obviously, you know, your traditional stories of your native peoples all around the world. Then you've got your footprints, you've got your DNA, you know, hair samples, scat samples, all kinds of things. But it's still not enough for science. But there's a problem there, because we need mainstream science to accept it before it can become accepted. But the problem is, mainstream science isn't looking for it. So you see the problem. You know, if you ain't looking for something, you ain't going to find it. You know, it's pretty rare. So, can we rely on science to find this creature? Probably not. But with this show, what I'm hoping to do, I'm hoping to open a few doors, here in the UK especially, although this show is, you know, worldwide. I want stories from anywhere, everywhere. Wherever there's a cryptid creature, I want to hear about it, and I want to play it on this show. But I'm open to open doors in the UK, because the UK is very, I say, closed-minded when it comes to things like this. If someone's seen it, they will not accept it. If you can tell them to your blue in the face that you've seen this thing, but they'll tell you it's this, it'll tell you it's that, it'll tell you it's, you know, it's the other. But obviously in the UK, it's slightly different from, you know, America and places like that, where you've got large predators, your bears, you know, your things like this. We don't tend to have that here. So if we run up against something like this, it's very hard just to say you saw a bear, for example. Now, I'm not saying people who are into Bigfoot in North America, for example, are seeing bears, but you know people will say that. But here, like I say, it's slightly different. But we still get the ridicule. Even people who see the black, you know, the panther, you know, it's well established now that it's running around the UK. We occasionally get the story in mainstream media that it's been spotted, and sometimes they even tell you that the army's been out trying to look for it. So we're getting a little bit further down the line with the old black cat. I mean, before that was just a complete, now it's basically, you know, a unicorn, but no, they're sort of accepting it now. But still, a body hasn't been found. So until it does, you know, it's just, well, I guess it's still a cryptid creature here, but let's hope we can get some people on the show and maybe change a few minds. That being said, let's get on with the show. So today we've got Colin on. Colin is from the UK, and he believed in this, you know, from a young age, and he actually went on to have an encounter and then another one, and he's well into researching it now. So if you know anybody that's seen something like this, or you yourself have seen something like this, now you can come on the show. You don't have to give your real name. That's perfectly fine. My email is whencryptidscall@gmail.com. Send me an email, and if you want to talk a little bit about it on email first and all that, that's fine. And I speak to loads of people who talk about what they've seen, tell me what they've seen, but don't want to come on the show. And I fully understand that. Not a problem with that. So, you know, that's the email, whencryptidcalls@gmail.com. Obviously, all this information will be in the show notes. You can find it there at your leisure. Okay, let's listen to what Colin's got to say. Well, thank you very much, Colin, for joining me on the very first episode of When Cryptids Call. I do appreciate that. So let's start from the beginning, I suppose. How did this all start for you?
Well, firstly, I want to thank you, Lee, for inviting me on your show. It's a privilege, to be honest. What I got into cryptozoology when I was about 14 years old. It's a long, drawn-out story, but I watched something. We only had three channels then. It's probably before your time then, Lee.
No.
There's a program on and about Bigfoot. I remember sitting down with my dad, and my jaw was just open. Absolutely, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it just spanned from there. I know we have discussed that in the early years, even I thought everything was in America. Even though I read one or two things in Asia and Australia, the Yowie and things like that. When you talked about Britain, I just ignored it. Well, I just didn't believe it, because it was all hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
There was nothing now. Until my first experience in 1990, which is October the 4th, it was actually a Thursday night. I was making my way. I'll cut a long story short, because people who've listened to me before, I'm sure they'll be bored to heck about this, but I had to make my way from Hull, East Hull, I was living there at the time, into Hornsey. I was married, We only had one car, but I had to be at work in the morning. She needed the car, so a friend of mine says, come and sleep at my house. So I was used to backpacking. I did a lot of miles. I've done mowers. I've been all over the mowers and everywhere. Yeah, this is what got me into it as well. But anyway, I'm on my way to Warnsey, and I come out across a part, which they call Hull Road, near Haworth Pub, just outside Hornsey, Hatfield, the place is called. I was about half a mile, if that, less than that, from that, walking down the country lane. It was about half past eight at night, roughly, and full moon. This is the ironic thing about it, full moon, which I was absolutely glad of it, because it just lit the place up like daylight. It was that bright. Anyway, I passed this farm, and I started walking down the road, and next minute I heard something in the field. Well, this hedgerow, I don't know what they call this type of hedgerow, but you could actually see underneath it. There was actually a gap. And I kept looking, and I thought, what is it, a cow? No, and I thought, no, is it a deer? And I thought, no, it looks like it just looked like dog's back legs. And I thought, hold on, where's its front legs? And I thought, it's got to be a trick of the light. Anyway, I could see a gatehole coming up. And I thought, I'll find out in a minute what it is. And with that, a car passed me. The next minute, I saw his brake lights come on. I reversed back, the window come down. It was a friend of mine that I worked with. Shall we call, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get into it. Jump in. Anyway, as I jumped in, I leant across and just looked over through his window, and I could see this dog stood there in this gatehole. And as I'm driving away, I said, Rob, look, there's a dog stood there. He goes, you what? I said, there's a dog stood upright in that gatehole. And he just looked at me and says, Cole, you're working a lot of hours. Get some rest. Yeah. I said, no, I'm honest, I'm going. Anyway, we almost got into Warnsey, and I'm shouting at him, and he said, do you want me to go back? I said, no, don't matter. Well, no, I had nightmares after that. Mm. It went on for years. I kept waking up, not every night, obviously. Some months would go by, and the next minute I'd have another one. And the recurring nightmare is this thing jumped over the gatehole and just ripped me to shreds, and I woke up screaming some nights, sweat. And I thought, yeah, I kept trying to get it out of my mind. And I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe what I saw, even though I'm into that. I just could not believe what I saw. And basically, it spanned from there. Then I was doing a lot of stuff in the background. I didn't tell most of my family. I kept using different excuses of going out and looking for these things until I had an encounter in 2015, another one, with something large. And that's when I went fully public. I thought, hey, this is it. And that's how me and Paul met, to be honest. Straight after that, really. But my second one was absolutely large. It was, like I said, it was September the 15th. I'm sure the people who have listened to me before have heard this, but I went in some woods. I had permission in private woods. I've been going into these woods for about a monthly, and some nights, mainly early mornings. Pitch black, obviously, being in a torch. You hear things snap, twigs, and you think, fox badger, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this morning, I was actually late. Set me alarm went off. I thought, I'm going to have another 5 minutes here. And it ended up being a couple of hours had gone by, and I was absolutely fuming. I jumped up, grabbed my gear and everything, and I set off to these woods. So then it was light. But I wandered into these woods. I scared something small, and it ran off. I thought, oh, it must have been a fox. So I anchored down. Then I heard some big gear up and run off. I thought, oh, it must be a deer and a foal. So I'm anchored down in this long grass. I thought, I'll give it a minute. Anyway, I got a minute. I stood up and I couldn't see anything. Anyway, I thought, oh, well, I'll walk through this grass, see what it was. And I'm walking through this long grass and I come to this big mound. It must be about 4 foot round. Something's been sleeping in it.
Yep.
This biggest pile of poo, like a meaty poo. If you put your fists together, two fists together and another fist on top, that was the roughly size of this meaty poo.
That's a decent.
Yeah, and I thought, what the? And I thought, oh, Cole, stop being stupid. It'll be a twitcher. Somebody been in the woods looking at bears get cut. I've been cut short. I'm sure all researchers out there have been cut short sometime or the other. I mean, in my backpack, there's a toilet roll.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, stop being stupid, Cole. So I wish I took a photograph of it on my phone. The camera that I had at the time had a zoom lens on. I wasn't able to take a photo. I never thought I'd get my phone out. Anyway, I thought, oh, let's get back through these woods. So I started walking to these woods. And you crossed the stream, and I was coming up to the stream, and I thought, Wow, what's that smell? Oh, blimey, that is putrid. It was wet dog smell. Like urine-y, really foul.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I thought the stream must have gone stagnant.
Yeah.
So I got to the stream and it's running free and I thought, what the? Anyway, so I crossed the stream, got on the other side and it's all bracken on my right. And there's like a track cut through, like a gaming track. And I'm walking down there and I hear this big thud, thud, thud. And I thought, what the heck's that? So I stopped. This thing stopped. So I thought, oh, it's got to be... there's a couple of guys who look after this wood. And I actually talked to them. And I thought, oh, it'd be one of them, like. So I shouts out, you know, I'm Colin Keelty, I've got permission to be here, blah, 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 blah. No answer. So I set off again, thud, thud, thud. I stopped, it stopped. I thought, what the heck? So I shouted it out again. No answer. So I started walking, it followed me again. So I stopped. I says, hello, hello, who is it? No answer. All this time, the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up, the smell was putrid. Anyway, I got on all fours to see if I could see under this bracken, and I couldn't see a thing. It was that thick. I got back up, started walking slowly, and this thing was following me. Then I speeded up, it speeded up. I thought, oh, bloody hell is it? I had my language there.
No, all right.
Anyway, I got up to the end of this like bracken, and it bowed off to the right of me. But I was going sort of like to my left. Then when I got to the end, I just glanced over, and there's this, I don't know what the heck it was. I don't know what to say. It was huge, hairy. I don't know. The thing that I thought was why it was a dog man is because of the smell. You see, that first sighting, I was telling Paul St. Clair this. Paul had another, he had a witness come forward about seeing this dog man, and it was real thin. And when Paul mentioned that to me years ago, I said, yeah, that first sighting I had, it was really thin. It was like it was underfed.
Yeah.
It was unbelievably thin. Where the second one, I would have said it was the Arnold Schwarzenegger of dogmen. It was just pure mass hair. You could see, and I don't think it was a guy in a bear costume.
No.
Nobody knew I was going to be there. The private woods, nobody walks through there, really. And I literally sort of like went in a circle because I just knew I had to get out and I couldn't get to my car fast enough. I got my car, I was out of there. I haven't been back since. Not that I can go back. I've asked a couple of times. It's actually changed hands and they won't let me in there. But anyway, beside the story, but on that night, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I wish I got my phone out and took pictures of that where it was sat or laid or something. But there's definitely something small and something large. But what this large thing really was, I don't know. But it wasn't human, I know that.
What sort of face did it have?
I couldn't actually see it very properly. I couldn't make it out. All I could see is a mass and hair, but, you know, I'm presuming it is a dog man with a smell. Yeah. I literally just wanted to get out of there, Lee.
How thick was the hair? Was it hair, not fur?
It was, well, I don't know. It looked like fur hair.
Yeah.
It looked like really, like hairy on the top, but fur at the bottom, if you get what I mean. It's hard to explain. But I'll tell you what as well.
Like you might see on a lion, you know, like where it's got a mane and fins
off. Similar to that. Well, somebody else mentioned this as well, and I think Paul St. Clair mentioned this as well. But when I was going in the woods, you could hear birds and everything. And just as I got in, everything just went silent, like there was a giant bubble.
Yeah.
Just everything went dead. I couldn't hear any birds, nothing. And it was real weird.
The Oz effect.
Yeah, after that, that was it. I decided I told everyone, look, I've been doing this for quite a few years, on and off type of thing. I've had actually several. When I was a kid, I sort of saw something twice. When I was married, we was at Goathland. And like I say, I used to do a lot of backpacking. And me and my ex-wife went down this trail. And it must be about half a mile going into these woods. She says, I'm scared. And I felt this about yards back. She says, there's something up her front that we shouldn't be seeing. I said, stop being stupid. So she grabbed my hand, which is unusual at the time because we weren't going on. Like, but anyway. So anyway, we cut through these woods, but there was definitely something in them woods. And even as we got out of the woods, you could feel the relief. It was real. That was weird. And that was another bubble. But yeah, I've had several encounters. I don't know if you know, I used to have a 4x4. I had it for 3 years. I put extra lights on. I had two dash cams in it. And I used to go out in the middle of the night. I did it for almost solid 3 years. Just going out. And I've seen strange things. I ain't caught them on dash cams. I've had things run in front, but dash cams are not that brilliant.
Yeah.
You've just got blare.
Yeah.
And you can't, I can't put up, like, I've got a blare. It's like these people that, I'm sorry, I'm having a go at anybody here, but I see lots of photos that are sent me, and they have circles on these. I mean, you've come across it, Lee. You have circles in a field and bushes and that. There it is. Can you see it? There's several.
Yeah.
You know, there's five of them. Well, no, sorry, I can't. You know, I don't want to get in that realm, to be honest. I'm not having a go at anybody. Everybody researches. Everybody, you know, does different research. As long as we do something, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how much research you do. If you spend weeks doing it or even just an hour doing it, you're doing something, and that's a good thing. So yeah, I'm going to go at anybody. So, you know, just bear that in mind, please.
Absolutely.
Any questions you want to ask, Lee, there? Sorry.
No, just on that, the Oz effect or the Oz factor, just for those people who don't know. This goes back, I mean, I'm going back to the 90s now. I think it was Jenny Reynolds. At the time, she was working for BUFORA, which was the British UFO Research Association. Yeah, and she actually sort of coined that term, and she described it as being this reoccurring situation where people, just before they had a sighting of a UFO, in this example, but the time would almost stand still. So, you know, you'd get even like the breeze going through the trees would stop. You know, in America, they say the crickets stop. And obviously, that's what you're describing there. So just for people that don't know what that is, but it's well known in all phenomena, really, whether it's UFO, cryptids, ghosts, it seems to happen. So it's obviously something happening in our subconscious, I would say. But
yeah,
but it's interesting. You know, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So again, I know, going back to the beginning of the story there, when you said, you know, even though you believed in all this, when you see something like this, it's very hard to accept because, and it's the way me and you brought up, it's the way British people are brought up, it's this, you know, you must be going mad type thing, you know. You
say it's brainwashing, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. It doesn't matter who you speak to. Oh, I've seen, you must be going mad. And you sort of were very reluctant to speak out and, you know, I still see that now. I mean, I get messages all the time from people who've seen things, but they won't want to talk about it in any sort of detail.
We've done about this, won't we?
Absolutely, yeah. They'll pass you the information on, but that's as far as they want to go. And I get it. I totally get it, you know, in the UK. So from what you've learned, from what you've seen, I mean, I know this is an open-ended question, but do you get a sense of what's going on here?
Not really. I've been asked this several times, hundreds of times, to be honest. But I like to think these things are real. But I'm open-minded. Are they extraterrestrial? Mm-hmm. Are they supernatural? I don't know. That's why I do what I do. I'd like to think these things are real. And I do really think these things move around the country through green belts. I've had loads, well, not loads, but quite a few reports where I've had a couple of factories, actually, where there's a green belt at the back of the factory and something's gone crashing through them. It's something large that they can't explain. You know, I says, oh, it was a deer. No, it wasn't a deer. They says it was bigger than a deer. It's massive. It was, you know, all black. And so, yeah.
At this point, this is a good point to point out that we are in the UK. And for people outside the UK, I mean, I was talking to someone within the UK the other day that thought we had wolves up north in Scotland.
Run about introducing them again, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah. I think it'd be good to keep the deer down, but but we don't, you know, at the minute, as it stands, we don't have bears, we don't have wolves, we don't really have big predators in the UK, and a lot of people forget that, you know, when we're talking about the UK, you know, because like you say, something steps out, well, I mean, realistically, the only possibilities there is A, what you think it is, B, a cow, maybe, or a horse, I mean. But then you're running out of big animals after that, aren't you? So, I just wanted to point out, because obviously when we're talking about America, that's slightly different, because there is, I know people, I'm not saying people getting confused.
7 million acres or something of
forest
in America? I mean, we've got a fraction of that, haven't we?
No, absolutely, yeah. But when you look at it, there's only like, what is it, 30% of the UK is built on. So,
yeah, apparently, yeah. But I mean, a lot of it's farmland.
Farmland, marshes. So, yeah,
I was talking to a forester guy, funny enough. Well, sorry to cut you out there, Lee, but I got onto the subject of, has he ever seen Oak Strange? And he says, what do you mean by strange? So I grabbed it by the short and curlies, really, and says, look, have you seen anything like a werewolf or that? And he paused for a bit, and he says, I'll tell you now, he says, there is something out there. I said, why do you say that? He says, I've been doing this job for years now, and he says, I see things, the corner of my eye, run past there. And he says, there's certain woods, he says, I've had my dog for a few years now, it will not go in. He says, I put a lead on it one day and tried to drag it in there, slipped its lead and ran. He says, I found it a mile away, just sat there waiting for me outside these woods. It will not go in. But he says, I get the sense something's there. And that's all he would tell me.
Yeah. So he might not have seen it, but he knows there's something
I asked him for an interview and he was a bit reluctant, like, again, going on that factor, we're in Britain and they don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, It's the ridicule, isn't it? It's the ridicule.
Yeah, it's the ridicule. I mean, as I told you about that video before, the guy with the ridicule, but anyway, we won't go into that. But I gave him one of my cards. I said, look, if you change your mind, get in touch, please. I've never heard from him, so.
Yeah, it's a shame. Especially those people, because they spend their lives out there. And
That's what he does for a living. I mean, I won't tell you who he worked for. I don't want to know the guy down a bit and ridiculed. But, he worked for a certain company that looks after our forests, as you can imagine the name, I suppose. But, anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we've got two different things going on here. We've got the wild man, as it were, the Bigfoot of the UK, and we've got the Dogman, which is, for those who don't know, essentially a werewolf.
I like to call them wolf people, apparently. I don't like the term Dogman. I'm not having a go at anybody, but
it's
my personal preference. But a lot of people do call it a Dogman. But, I prefer wolf people or Wolfman.
Wolfman, I mean, a lot of people who see it say it's got like a wolfish type head, don't they? Like a German Shepherd type head. So, I mean, hopefully we get answers. I mean, do you see anything coming out in the near future?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to think so. I need to get out more. Obviously, the COVID this year has really put a stop on me. I've been invited to a lot. Everybody, not just me. I'd like to see things go a bit further this year. I'd like to get a team up, to be honest. I know I've discussed this with you, and I don't like, well, I'm 54, I'm on my own, and I don't like going there on my own really anymore. It didn't used to bother me. I get scared, but curiosity keeps driving me on. I'd like to get some type of team together really and start doing this more and more around Britain.
Yeah.
But it all goes down to finance, and I mean, like I say, I'm on my own. I've got a job, not the best job in the world. So I'm paid with rent, fuel, heating and things like that. Not left with much money, so it's... Yeah, I'd like to see something happen in the future. What about you, Lee? Where do you stand with this?
No, absolutely. I think that's something that we can definitely work on. I think if we get a few people involved, it certainly makes the finance aspect of it a lot easier. The only way we're going to get the answers is to get out there, isn't it?
It's like the lottery. I say to people, you've got to be in it to win it, and you've got to be there to see it.
That's the other thing about people who don't believe it and don't want to believe it. I think it's more don't want to believe it in a lot of cases. But you get certain people and you say, well, go and spend the night in the woods on your own. Yeah. No, not doing that. Why not? There's nothing out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had that, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest thing out there is a fox, you know, or a badger maybe, you know. Go and spend I don't want to spend the night in the woods. Why not? So it's this primal fear, I guess, that keeps a lot of people out of the woods. But, maybe we know subconsciously there's something going on there. Like you're saying about the dog. I mean, I've encountered this myself in paranormal situations where the dog will not go in that room. You know, for whatever reason, it just will not. And you're saying about the woods, it's a similar thing. And it knows, you know, whether it can... we'll never know whether it can smell it, you know, sense it. We don't know, but it knows. And if the dog's doing that, that's a good sign for you to turn around, I think.
They always have the answer, don't they?
Absolutely.
I'd love another one, but being on my own, it's not fair on the dog, so I won't get one.
No. I mean, I remember an occasion, looking back on things, it's like throughout your life, you have these weird things happen. And I was telling you the other day about stones that was thrown at me. And it was years later when I thought, sort of maybe wondered if there was anything more to that. But I remember this occasion when I was about 14, 15, something like that. And we're spending the nights in the woods. And it was a summer's evening. Obviously, it got dark. Maybe, I mean, this could be sort of 9, 10 o'clock at night time I'm talking about now. And it was dark. But we're all there. There's not a breeze. And we're all there having a good laugh. There's about 4 or 5 of us, lads, like. And we're cooking some noodles on the fire and all that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this tree just comes down.
That's enough to scare you, is it? Just that, isn't it, really?
In our minds, because we'd been safe out of there before by the police. You know, a couple of weeks back or months back, the police had come round and safed us out of the camping out of the woods. Like, so in our minds, for whatever reason, now the police don't generally try and scare you out of the woods by pushing a tree over.
No.
I accept it. Accept that. But in our minds, you know, 15, 14-year-old lads' minds, our minds went straight to this is the police coming for us, right? So we doused the fire with the noodles and we just all just... There was a sense of... really was a sense of fear that struck us all. And none of us made a sound. None of us tried to escape. We just literally sat there, you know. This tree come down.
Yeah,
now, I know trees fall down, yeah. I accept that, you know. I'm not saying there was anything behind this, but the circumstance and the way we all felt was there's something more to that. We knew, again, subconsciously maybe, but we knew there was something going on there that tree didn't just fall. Yeah, it didn't collapse. It just, I mean, it literally was down. And that, you know, and that woods is not very big at all. So maybe they're more prevalent than we think, you know.
Yeah, possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But sorry, no, go on.
Go on, mate. You've got your own channel, so do you want to tell people a little bit about that before we?
I've had a couple of channels, to be honest, but I've just set. Well, I didn't just set it up. I set it up last year, but with COVID, it hasn't really gone off as much as I wanted it to. It's called The Dark 66. It's on YouTube. I've just put a video up today. I rushed it a bit, to be honest. I did have some drone footage. Believe it or not, my SD card got stuck, so I tapped it and it went ping in here in this room. And can I heckers find it? I've had shelves out, cupboards out, everything. I cannot find it. And I keep meaning to do a bit more drone footage, but with the weather, it's absolutely, as you know, at the moment, terrible out there at the moment. But I'll just quickly put it together today. It's about an encounter that Jim Wallace had in near Arnold, Longwiston, Skeller area. I think it was 2003. This thing, he was absolutely petrified. This thing chased his car. It was huge. It actually stepped out in the middle of the road, and he had to swerve it to get round it. Like, he had his wife in the car and his newborn son, and this was up at 11 at night, and he thought this thing was going to hunt him down. And, you know, actually kill him or whatever. But, I've just put that one up. I put one up a few months ago, as I told you, but I've had to take it down because of the witness got a bit of ridicule and he got a bit violent towards the end. So I've took that one down, which I'm going to remake. But I've just had somebody contact me and just watch it, actually, funny enough. And... he said, I hope you're going to get out there more and more. I said, well, I'm trying, but COVID is sort of put a damper on things this year with lots of things. So, but yeah, if anybody's got any reports, want to pass them on to me, I really would appreciate it. There's a woman on Paul St. Clair's channel, when I did a podcast with Paul about this Bigfoot in Winsey. Well, I grew up in Winsey. And I asked her to contact me, but obviously she hasn't. If you ever listened to this, I wish you would. I've had several reports of people think there's Bigfoot in them woods. As I told you, Lee, and I'm sure people who follow me know there's that one in Scotland. I had a report from a gentleman called Chris that actually smashed his van. Apart from that, just give me a shout if anything goes down. I'll tell Lee or vice versa, whatever. And appreciate it.
Absolutely, and yeah, we'll try and get something together. I think that's the best,
best
thing to do. Yeah, because there's plenty going on around here. I mean, we're both sort of in the northeast here, aren't we? So
that's it. I think even if you know, all the cryptids out there in the UK, if we all if we can even get like a function room, we all meet up even once a year.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic if we could share ideas and tips.
Yeah,
you know. For looking for these things or what we think they are, nobody's right or wrong, so don't think that you're going to be ridiculed, because nobody is. You know, it'd be great to get it together, Lee, to be honest, something like that.
Yeah, I think we can certainly have a look into that, mate.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually. It'd be fantastic.
So well, thank you for sharing your experiences with me, and like I say, I'm sure people will enjoy hearing about this, because we don't get too much coming out of the UK, and I want to put that right. So, yeah, thank you again for joining me.
Well, thank you for inviting me on, Lee. To be honest, it's a privilege. I'm really flattered, to be honest. Thank you very much.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. I want to thank Colin for coming on the show there. If you've got a story you want to share on the show, or you know somebody that may have seen something, then pass them my email by all means. It's whencryptidscall@gmail.com. Okay, whencryptidscall@gmail.com, and get in touch. You know, you don't have to give your real name or anything like that. We could just have a chat on email at first if that's what you need to do. And then if you want to come on the show later, by all means, fantastic. You know, really, we need to get the word out, and like I say, hopefully people will start coming forward with these encounters. I speak to many, many people who have these encounters. A lot of them don't want to come out in public and share them, which I totally understand. But it's a shame that the UK is like that. But again, if it doesn't matter where you listen to this in the world, if you've seen a cryptid creature and you want to come on the show, it's whencryptidscall@gmail.com. If you're interested in following Colin and looking at his channel, all the information for that is in the show notes. So go there and you'll be able to find it, no problem. Right, that being said, I hope you have a fantastic week. Next time I get an encounter, you'll be sure to hear about it. Other than that, I've been Lee Solway. You've been fantastic. See you next time.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The new McCrispy Strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.